724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. It's October the 8th. Boy, it's hard to believe, huh? Here we are now, heading into the second week of October. Ooh, wow. Time is flying by on us. Isn't it amazing how much difference a sunny day can make? Yesterday was just a lousy day, to be honest with you. And by the way, last weekend wasn't any great shakes either. Sunday was mostly gloomy all day long with some occasional rain, but then the rain really moved in. And during the overnight hours and yesterday morning, and it would come and go. Sometimes it picked up a little bit. Sometimes it was just kind of a nagging but steady drizzle. And I don't know about you, but yesterday was the first day that I felt like we were really getting one of those chilly autumn rains. I mean, we had some rain here and there, you know, in September, not much, but it was generally a warm rain. Yesterday, it was a chilly rain. As a result, it felt colder than it was, and it was pretty chilly. We never got out of the mid-50s yesterday. We're already well past that. We're in the low 60s right now. We have bright sunshine. Now, it's not swimming weather out there, but it's a very, very nice early fall day with sunshine. Temperatures in the low 60s. Yeah, nice. We have a good program today. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to be chatting by telephone with our first guest. If you are interested in World War II, if you're a history buff, I think you'll be interested in our first guest. His name is Jerome O'Connor. He's a Chicago guy, was a newspaper writer. And he's written a book called The Hidden Places of World War II. And it was a revelation to me to read his book. I got a review copy of it. So if you think you know a lot about World War II, and we've seen a lot because, you know, this year we had the 75th anniversary of the D-Day invasion, so there's been a lot written about World War II. But Jerome O'Connor has found some interesting stuff even 80 years now, since the beginning of World War II. So we'll talk with him about that in just a moment or so. And then also on today's program, there's an event coming up this weekend in Zelianople, beautiful community down in the southwestern corner of Butler County. It's called Zeli on Tap. And I suspect that has to do with some craft breweries. We'll talk with Frank Baker and get all the details on Zeli on Tap. So that's what's coming up on the program today. And we're going to take a quick break and we'll hook up on the phone with our first guest, Jerome O'Connor, here on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. Back to talk with him right after these words.
The Battery Warehouse Plus family is proud to announce the opening of West End Tire and Service, formerly Seaman Tire Services. Keeping commerce alive in Butler is important, and at West End Tire and Service, they vow to keep the same great people and great service that Seaman's provided for years by offering a vast selection of tires, installation, and service. West End Tire and Service is looking forward to serving the community and expanding their service offerings in the near future. Stop by West End Tire and Service, 459 West Cunningham Street in Butler, or call 724-287-6973.
The Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, located at 140 Newcastle Road. It's about halfway up Newcastle Hill, just down from the State Police Barracks. This is the Butler area's newest funeral home, Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home, the first and only value-designed funeral home, built specifically for that purpose. A funeral home that offers styles, types, and levels of service that others are not able or willing to offer. They can transfer all prearranged funeral services and policies as well. It's an entirely new idea. It's local. And there's a hometown gentleman running the operation, Spencer D. Geibel. Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, 140 Newcastle Road in Butler. Not affiliated with any other funeral home. Coming up, listeners, I'm looking forward to a really fascinating discussion with our guest, Jerome O'Connor, who joins us here on the next segment of It's Your Turn on WISR to talk about a fascinating new book that he's written entitled The Hidden Places of World War II. First of all, Jerome O'Connor, nice to make your acquaintance. Nice to have you with us for a few minutes here today.
Happy to be with you, sir.
I've read quite a bit about World War II, particularly the European theater. I'm not so much well-read on the Pacific theater, but even the title of your book intrigued me, The Hidden Places of World War II. Jerome, I thought we knew all about these places. There are some that are still coming to light or that still exist?
Indeed, there are, and part of the reason would be the enormity of the war. It covered the globe, and even in Europe, where we thought that we knew everything we could about the war itself and about the places from where it was conducted, there is always more to learn. And over the past 48 years of journalism, I made a mission, if not a compulsion, to go to the origin of where great events took place, rather than going into realms of interest of other historians where you would begin the D-Day invasion at June the 6th. And the launch, I go before that to, for example, the location where Eisenhower made the decision to launch the D-Day invasion. So I go back earlier.
Once again, the title of Jerome O'Connor's book is The Hidden Places of World War II. A little bit about our guest. Jerome O'Connor is historian, journalist, compelling speaker. He was awarded Author of the Year by the U.S. Naval Institute some years ago, acknowledging his writings as significant contributions to the history of World War II. Your first feature story appeared in the Chicago Tribune, right? Back in the 60s, Jerome.
Yes, it did. Yes.
Well, what was it that inspired you to write this book? How did you get going on this book?
I think going back all the way to my early childhood on the south side of Chicago, I remember during the war how empty our neighborhood was. In Chicago, and indeed all major minor cities, small towns, and villages throughout America, there was a void between the ages of 18 and 24. The young men were gone, and many young women, non-combatants, were gone as well. On our block, there were six houses that had blue banners indicating that sons or brothers or husbands had gone to war. But there was one house that had a gold star. It was about five doors from where we lived. Now, out of fear or reverence, I'm not sure which, when I would go to the corner candy store, I would cross the street so that I wouldn't have to pass the home of the grieving parents inside the house with the gold star. So I think the interest I had in the greatest war in history began there, and then as I grew into an adult, I learned what the war represented, and then I had the opportunity to write a book on the eve of the 75th anniversary of the end of the war, which is next year, and that is the culmination of what brought me from a six-year-old to an older adult to recognize the epic nature of the war and what it did for the world and for the United States.
I was intrigued by finding out, by reading your book, that, for example, all five of the Atlantic Nazi U-boat bunker bases still exist from which they launched their submarines. In fact, all of them are pretty much the way they looked originally. Where are these submarine bases, Jerome?
The bases are along the Biscay Coast, which is an inlet from the Atlantic Ocean. And soon after France surrendered, rather quickly, the Nazis took over former fishing ports, and they converted places such as Lorient, Brest, Saint-Nazaire, La Rochelle, into fortified U-boat bunker bases. And yes, you are correct, they exist, seeming to be almost intact from a near distance. Hitler knew that the only way he could win the war before America's entry, after which it would be impossible, would be to sever the essential convoy lifeline connecting North America to mostly Liverpool and partially to the port of London. So if he could cut off the lifeline with 80% of the material needing for Britain to conduct the war, he had his best chance of winning. To accomplish that, he had his engineers build five indestructible U-boat bases. And by indestructible, I mean that thousands of sorties by U.S. Army Air Force bombers and by Royal Air Force Lancaster bombers failed to put one base out of commission.
Wow. I had never read about that anywhere before. I have been blessed to visit the Normandy coast and some of the beachheads of the D-Day invasion, Omaha and Utah in particular. And there are still remnants of some bunkers in a few spots, particularly at Pont au Hoc, where the U.S. Army Rangers climbed the cliffs trying to take out a couple of guns, only to find out that the guns had been removed already. But the bunkers are still there, and it's phenomenal to actually go in them. And I'm sure you've reviewed that, have you not?
I have indeed, and they are as described. But there's actually much more to be seen that survived the war. We do know about those bunkers, and Normandy is a place of solemn visitation. But in my book, The Hidden Places of World War II, I find locales that somehow overlook the vision and the exploration of other historians throughout the decades. And so, as an example, let us take the mansion where General Eisenhower made the fateful decision to launch the attack. Now, that mansion was and is situated in its original appearance in Portsmouth, which was one of the embarkation ports. There were 12 embarkation ports that launched the invasion. And Ike had a fateful decision to make. He was hampered by weather, and weather had already delayed the invasion, which was scheduled for June 5th. Against the advice of almost all of his commanders, his admirals and generals, in a mansion, while looking at a floor-to-ceiling plywood map containing all the information that he needed to know to make the decision, he said, against the advice, he said, let's go. And the weather did clear in time, and the invasion was successful. So, Dave, I found the locale, the mansion, and was able to get an appointment and saw the same enormous plywood map that Ike saw. And so I could place myself in the position where he was and kind of imagine what stresses went through him in arriving at the decision of the century.
Wow. I had no idea. I knew that D-Day was delayed by 24 hours, as you mentioned a moment ago. It was originally scheduled for June 5th, and it ended up going on June 6th. But even then, it was kind of dicey as to whether or not to start the invasion. What about the breaking of the Nazi code? which also took place in England. Are any of those places still existing, Jerome?
The breaking of the Nazi code, known as the Enigma cipher, which they flamboyantly etched into the wooden cases containing the electromechanical devices, that was one of the two major secrets of the war. The other was the development of the atomic bomb, which began here in Chicago and then went out to different locales throughout the country. So the Enigma code, or really a cipher, is how the entire German armed forces communicated with each other and with their headquarters. So these devilish devices that were portable, they were at the level of the company commander and then up to an entire division. So everybody had an Enigma device. The location where the device was entered into is known as Bletchley Park, and I had the opportunity to be the first journalist to write about its existence, a collection of hastily built wooden and rough brick huts about 65 miles from London. And in these huts, about 12,000, mostly women codebreakers, and one very famous man named Alan Turing, entered the labyrinth of this device and revealed its secrets through trial and error and through learning such things as predictable text in the coded messages that were intercepted by the British. Predictable messages such as, from the U-boats, nothing to report, fuel status, torpedoes needed, things such as that. And eventually, they were able to learn everything about what was going to occur. And this saved at least 2 years from the end of the war being in 1947 instead of in 1945.
Is Bletchley Park open to the public today? Are any of those buildings still there?
When I first saw Bletchley Park, I was the only person there, and I had to push my way past barbed wire existing from during the war, and I saw the huts as they were. When I last saw Bletchley Park about 2 years ago, by noon there were 40 coachloads of people. It had been converted into a museum, and yes, it is very much available to the public and not difficult to get to from central London on a train that stops right across the street from what is now a museum that still isn't very well known, but it is indeed open to the public.
We need to take a quick break, but stick with us because we have much more to talk about with Jerome O'Connor, author of a fascinating new book, The Hidden Places of World War II. Back with more here on It's Your Turn on WISR, right after these words. In today's fast-paced world, our lives get a whole lot easier when we trust experts. We trust people who know what they're doing. And when it comes to shipping, I trust Goan Postal Butler. They're right off Newcastle Road on Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's easy, too. I just cruise on back, go say hello to the friendly folks inside, and they package my items for shipping. And that saves me a whole lot of time from trying to wrap my item, trying to find the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels. With Goan Postal Butler, I know they provide quality service. They've got great prices. Most importantly, they are trustworthy. So I know that my package will go where I need it to go. That's Goan Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, your friendly neighborhood shipping store, Goan Postal Butler.
Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers congratulates orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon Dr. William Saar for being named a Best Doc by Pittsburgh Magazine for the third straight year.
I'm Dr. William Saar with Tri-Rivers. Whether you suffer a foot or ankle-related trauma, such as a fracture or dislocation, or require reconstructive foot and ankle surgery, I rely on my extensive experience and specialized training to get you back on your feet. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us a little bit late on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, no problem. My name is Dave Mowarkey. We're chatting with Jerome O'Connor. He visits with us by telephone today. We're talking about his book, The Hidden Places of World War II. I know that what are known as the war rooms of Churchill still exist in London. I'm sure you have visited those, Jerome. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about those rooms?
I visited the rooms with a friend, a former RAF pilot, almost 8 years before they opened to the public, totally unknown. And I learned them from a friend who was my agent in London. I was in the travel industry, and I organized group tours for associations in the medical field, the legal field. And so I went in advance to work out details and had a dinner with my agent. He said, Jer, I think you would like to visit the locale where Churchill conducted the war. I said, there is a place that exists? He said, oh, yes, not only does it exist, but it was never changed from when the war ended in 1945 to the present day. I can get you in. So I visited the rooms, and partially with the aid of a one-cell flashlight, I saw the locale a mere 10 feet under the pavement in an old office building, maybe 3 minutes' walk from Number 10 Downing Street, exposed to Nazi paratroopers or to destruction from air, and in the former basement, in a warren of cubbyhole rooms, this is where Churchill conducted the war. I was absolutely awestruck as a young journalist. In the main room where Churchill had the cabinet meetings, 155 during the war, my elbow accidentally knocked over a yellowing file. And on the file, as I picked it up, it said, Operation Overlord, top secret.
Wow.
I thought, what Hitler would give to get that file.
Wow. This is great stuff. We can understand perhaps why some of the sites in England, American and British, would still be around, but you also talk in your book, The Hidden Places of World War II, about the surprising existence still of, for example, the Nazi Party rally grounds on the outskirts of Nuremberg. They're still there.
They are still there, and they're not kept as a memorial to the Nazi regime because the Germans have very definitely learned their lesson. I think part of the reason why they exist almost in their original condition, and they are vast, three times the size of Chicago's downtown, as an example, they exist as a reminder to the current generation and to all of us that never again can we allow this scourge to consume all of Europe. And so when I visited the ruins, and indeed not just ruins, but intact locations, stands where spectators would gather and where Hitler had his own location where he could view the strutting, goose-stepping troops, an enormous, partially completed amphitheater to hold 250,000, I realized that Hitler's dream, mad dream, was much more than a fantasy. It was a genuine reality. and all of the Nazi meeting grounds, they exist to this day, and they can be visited. They're just not known.
You also talk in your book, and this is something else I'm not familiar with at all, Jerome. You talk about the SS America. Tell us about this ship, and what's the story there?
The SS America was the pride of a very small company, United States Lines, and it competed with other much more famous ships at a time when the only way to cross was to go on a ship. And the SS America was built to be requisitioned by the U.S. government if needed. And indeed it was. Within a few months after its commissioning, it was requisitioned by Franklin Roosevelt to go along with six other American transports on a mission eventually to Singapore with an entire division of British troops. FDR, in violation of the Neutrality Act, but knowing that he had to keep Britain afloat until he could rally the American people, he loaned Churchill the SS America, which became the USS West Point, to take the British troops, but instead of boarding them in New York, where perhaps they could be seen, they were boarded in Canada, and they eventually made it to Singapore in its last dying days. Churchill had to call upon FDR at various times because without America's assistance, Britain would have been defeated, and the SS America returned as a passenger ship, and my late wife and I were on its last voyage. I could find nothing to remind me of its former heroic days until the day when we entered the harbor and saw the great Lady Liberty in the harbor, and I clutched a handrail, and on the handrail were the engraved initials and hearts of the young men and refugees who had survived the greatest war in history and sailed on that same ship back home to freedom.
Well, our time begins to run short. I have to ask you about one more thing, and there's lots more in Jerome's book. The London mansion where close to 60 Nazi generals were confined in surprisingly generous conditions, but with a reason. What was the reason for that, Jerome O'Connor?
Yes, this is called Trent Park, Dave. The mansion exists to this day, although it is not open to the public. The grounds are open. The captured Nazi generals were taken in great secrecy from their surrender on the battlefield to the mansion in London, given incredible privileges. They could roam most of the house, but not go in the basement. They could wear their uniforms, their medals, their shiny boots. They were served plated meals, allowed to walk the grounds, all with a single purpose, to cause them to talk a little bit more than they should about the battles in which they fought and lost, and talk with others from other branches of the military in different of the rooms, not knowing that everything was bugged. Every room was bugged, and listeners in the basement were recording every word that they said. They got a lot of good information, which they passed on, such as the depth that U-boats would operate, and this would help U.S. Navy destroyers to set their depth charges to the level where they could expect the submarines to be, and much more information. So Bletchley Park, which is essentially unknown, is a chapter in my book, and it just goes to show that when we think we know everything about the war, we don't. There are always more stories to tell.
Even 80 years later. Folks, much more in Jerome's book, including a chapter on Jimmy Stewart, who was an aviator in World War II. born in Indiana, PA, just one county away from us, so we know a lot about him. If you're looking for Jerome's book, The Hidden Places of World War II, if you're interested in World War II history as I am, this is just a fascinating book. The Hidden Places of World War II by Jerome O'Connor. Jerome, what a pleasure to talk with you today. Hope we can chat again in the future sometime. I'd enjoy that.
Thank you, sir. I've enjoyed it very much.
Sure. So long now.
Auto accidents can be a terrifying experience. Injuries can occur at an impact of just 2 to 3 miles per hour. If you've had an accident, it's time to visit Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center. Doctors Lucas and Detweiler specialize in treating accident-related injuries from whiplash, soft tissue pain, and headaches to shoulder and arm pain, reduced range of motion, and disc damage. Let the professionals at Applewood Chiropractic provide you with the necessary benefits to aid you in your healing process. Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Thorn Apple Drive in Butler. Visit applewoodchiro.com.
Welcome back, good friends. Boy, that's interesting stuff. Talking with Jerome O'Connor there from Chicago, The Hidden Places of World War II. Well, we move on to the next segment of our It's Your Turn program today. And if you're just joining us, I'm Dave Malarkey. We welcome Frank Baker. Visiting with us here in the studio now, sharing information about an event coming up this weekend in Zelianople. Frank, nice to meet you. Nice to have you here.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate your invitation.
So what's happening in Zelianople this Saturday?
So we have our fourth annual Zillion Tap Beer Festival. This is a major fundraiser for the Zelianople Community Park as well as the Zelianople Area Public Library.
And you've had this for a couple of years, I think. Right?
Yes. Yep. This will be the fourth year that we've done this, and it gets better every year.
Zeely on tap. I guess you don't have to be too worried about what this is all about. We're going to be enjoying beers, variety of beers, I guess. Huh?
Yes. So we have over 20 craft brewers coming in to share their different crafts with the group. So, you know, when the patrons arrive, they get a sampling glass, and then they have an opportunity for two different sessions to go in and taste all the beers that these craft brewers are providing to the area. They're primarily local brewers from the Butler and Butler County area,
mm-hmm.
and they bring two or three of their best beers for everyone to sample.
Where exactly in Zelianople does this take place, Frank?
So it's in the Zelianople Community Park, which is right on East Beaver Street off the downtown area. And it's at the top of the hill, as we say, which is the main ball field. So go into the park and straight up to the top of the hill, and we'll have our circle of brewers up there.
You know, I'm not sure I'm familiar with that particular part of Zelianople. I've been to Zelianople many times, but sometimes I'm just going through. So, okay, I'm coming down from Butler. I come into town. And then you make that 90-degree left turn there, okay?
Right.
And am I close, or?
Yeah, so you go down about 3 blocks, so you're on Main Street, uh-huh. and you'll turn on to Beaver. So it would be the third red light. There'll be a bank on your right and an old BP station on the left. You hang a left onto Beaver Street, and you go 3 blocks, and the park will be on your right. That's where the community pool is, as well as various playgrounds and several ball fields.
So when you turn on the Beaver, you kind of start uphill a little bit. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's a very low hill, though. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think everybody would know where that is, even mm-hmm. if they haven't been there before. And, well, let's talk a little bit about where the money goes that's raised in this event. It's a 50-50 split, I understand?
Yes, between the Zelianople Community Park and the Zelianople Public Library. The community park, they rely heavily on the community support to make all their capital improvements. This year was a great year for the park. After 60 years, they retired the old swimming pool, and they debuted their new aquatic facility and the bathhouse renovation. So part of the funding from this is for the finishing touches, like additions to the pool deck, new furniture like chaise lounges and that sort of thing. As well as part of the pool is a new kids area, which is really, really nice. And they're going to add some more amenities to that as well. And they're in the process now of building a new skate park. This has been planning for several years. It's now anticipated to open in the spring. They just installed a new ADA playground equipment over this last summer. So a lot of funding from goes to help maintain that and bring in new equipment, as well as future upgrades to various parts of the park, including the ball fields and that sort of thing.
I can remember when they were first discussing the idea of renovating the pool and hoping to get some funds. I don't have to tell you that many, many communities in western Pennsylvania are abandoning their swimming pools because they're 30, 40, 50 years old. They need major renovation work, and it's just become too expensive. The city of Butler is a prime example. They abandoned their pool, and it's now all filled in. Many other communities, large and small, have done that. Zelianople's most fortunate.
We are. They were able to secure some grant money from the state, as well as Zelianople Borough, and a lot of donations to help build this new pool. And again, they opened it this year, and they were very happy.
I didn't realize it was done already, so that's good news.
Yes, we're very happy with it. It's a beautiful pool. They've done a very nice job.
It's certainly an expensive proposition. I had my eyes opened on that. And in terms of ADA playground equipment, Americans for Disabilities Act, when I was a kid, I suspect you too, we didn't think about this. I mean, you had playground equipment, and if you had a classmate or a kid who was physically challenged in one way or another, and they couldn't use the playground equipment, well, that was just tough luck. You know, nowadays we accommodate those individuals, and thank goodness we do.
We do, yes. And some of the equipment they put on it's wheelchair accessible, so the children in wheelchairs can roll right up, and they can be on the merry-go-round or a teeter-totter, that sort of thing. And it's pretty amazing what they can do these days with ADA playground equipment.
So some of the money that's raised from this event on Saturday will go toward covering those costs too, huh?
Right, and maintenance and maintaining that and bringing in new equipment, as well as other renovations and work.
Is the park under the control of borough officials, or is there like a separate volunteer group that runs things, do you know?
Well, so it's under the Zelianople Borough essentially owns the park, but there is a park board that runs the facility and maintains and figures out where the money should go and how they can raise more money and things like that.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Frank Baker. Frank is one of the co-chairs of this event, right?
Yes.
Zeli on Tap. And it happens this coming Saturday, October 12th. October 12th already? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's halfway through October, Frank.
Yeah, we thought we had more time.
This is all going to take place at Zelianople Community Park. Now, there's beer tasting here, so obviously you've got an age restriction, right?
Yes. No one under 21 would be admitted. And we have, during the registration process and check-in process, we'll card anybody that looks under the age of 35, which is as it should be. So.
Believe me, the people that are 25 or 30, they'll be happy to be carded.
I think that's true.
There's a certain age where you hate to be carded, and then you get past that. You want to check me out? That's fine. Go right ahead.
That's right.
Let's mention some of the brewers, and in the midst of our conversation here with Frank, we'll mention all of them, but can you mention a few of the breweries who are going to be participating?
Certainly. So we have Shoe Brew, which is a brewery in Zelianople. We have Voodoo Brewing, the Grist House, Brew 32. Connie Creek Brewing will be there, along with Fury Brewing and the Butler Brew Works, and Arsenal Cider.
It's amazing, the explosion of craft breweries around western Pennsylvania in the past decade. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's a hobby for many, and a lot of those hobbyists have expanded their brewing facilities to these larger, some of these participating brewers start out as hobbyists.
I can remember quite a few years ago now, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, maybe 15, we had a group of guys, actually it was some fraternity brothers of mine who got together for one reason or another in western Pennsylvania. We went to that converted church in Lawrenceville,
The church brew works.
The brew works, yeah, that's what it's called. I couldn't think of the name of it. But that was, and that was about the only one back in those days. You know, I said, well, isn't this neat? A craft brewery. Now we have them all over the place.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
There's like 12 or 15 in Butler County alone.
Yeah, which is very nice.
So will there be anything going on Saturday besides beer tasting, Frank?
There will, actually. We'll have we have a couple of food trucks there. So Shoe Brew, as I mentioned, will bring their craft beers, but they're also bringing their craft pizzas and craft food to make it available for the participants. And then Mignanelli's Smokehouse Barbecue, he'll bring his food truck. They were there last year, very popular barbecue. And, of course, we'll have, you know, hot, soft pretzels, because what's a beer festival without hot pretzels?
Naturally. So,
there's also entertainment, so we'll have music playing throughout the whole event, of which consists of two sessions, I should note. There's an afternoon session from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., and then we have a small break, and then there's an evening session from 7 to 10 p.m. Shady Lady Productions is producing the music for us. We have three groups, the Noble Hops, the Shag Dog Melonhead, and Lucky Me will be playing throughout the course of the evening during the two events.
Oh, I know Shady Lady. Utah Burgess is the head guy there, and you'll have some good music. In fact, I think he's part of the Noble Hops group.
I believe so,
performer,
yes.
Yeah. So here's the deal. There's an afternoon session and an evening session.
Yes.
And you can choose either one or the other.
Correct.
What about tickets? Are they available in advance, or will we be able to get them on the day, or what's the deal on that?
So tickets are available in advance. They are available via the eventbrite.com website.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a search on Zillion Tap. You can also visit the Zillion Opal Public Library and purchase your tickets there and get a hard copy ticket. And we also have walk-ups, so on the day of the event, you can show up and purchase your ticket then. It's an additional $5 day of the show, day of the event, but they will be available.
We need to take a break. We'll do that. We'll talk more about just how the Zillion Opal Public Library will be benefiting from this event, Zillion Tap, coming up on Saturday. You're listening to It's Your Turn on WISR. We will be right back.
Welcome your fall morning with the best fall breakfast at Michael's Restaurant. In the fall, mornings are chilly and you just don't want to get up. But head to Michael's Restaurant and savor their pumpkin pancakes, cornmeal mush, or their popular buckwheat pancakes. Breakfast lovers, it's worth getting out of bed for. I promise.
When you or someone you care for needs skilled nursing and or physical therapy, Concordia Visiting Nurses can help relieve the stress you're feeling and put your mind at ease. Concordia Visiting Nurses professional services bring the best in expert care right into your own home. If your doctor prescribes home health care upon discharge from the hospital or from his or her office, please choose Concordia Visiting Nurses.
Need to get out of town? Check into Butler Motor Tours. They can get you out of town in style and in comfort on their big luxury cruise buses. Have you checked out their website lately? So many exciting trips coming up. Check out butlerbus.com and find out where they're taking you next. They have trips all over the country. They'll even help you set sail to maybe the Caribbean. Casino trips, historic landmarks, all across the country. No driving, no handling luggage, entertainment, and most meals. All can be put together with no worries, all in an inclusive price. Call Butler Motor Tours today for more information. Or again, go to their website, butlerbus.com, and check out all of the exciting trips. They especially take care of you around the holidays. Seriously, no better way to travel than Butler Motor Tours.
Speaking of the holiday season, which is all of a sudden just around the corner, Butler Motor Tours booking now for any number of holiday trips. I know they're taking a trip down to Asheville, North Carolina, to see the Biltmore all decorated for the holidays. They're going to Nashville for an Opryland Christmas. They're going to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee for a Smoky Mountain Christmas trip. And they're taking trips down to Ogle Bay, too. In fact, a couple of nights they'll be going down there for folks who want to enjoy the lights at Ogle Bay. And that's kind of nice, because even though it's just, you know, one evening, It means that you don't have to drive at night and down and come back from West Virginia late at night. Let them do the driving. Butler Motor Tours. More information and even booking online if you so desire at butlerbus.com. butlerbus.com. We're chatting with Frank Baker, who's one of the co-chairs of this Saturday's big event in Zeelianople. It's the 2019 edition of Zeely on Tap, with many, many participating craft brewers for beer tasting, and as Frank said before the break, lots of music and food trucks too. Some of the other participating brewers, Frank, maybe we'll get through the entire list here before we wrap up. There's a lot of breweries participating here.
There is, which we really appreciate. So we also have North Country Brewing from Slippery Rock, as well as the Harmony Inn in Harmony, PA. Mm-hmm. Kohler Brewing out of Grove City, Nockanoggin Winery and Cidery. The Butler Area Society of Home Brewers is represented here. Vincenzi's Distributing, Recon Brewing, as well as Burgers Brewing out of Zeelianople. So.
And there's still more. We'll mention a few more in just a couple of minutes, but we're talking a great number of craft brewers from which to choose, from which to taste. Now, there's also a VIP admission. Are those all sold out already, do you know?
They are, as a matter of fact. We're very happy to say that. That's an hour earlier admission to the afternoon session. And it's very lucky for them. They have a special brew from Shoe Brew that's exclusive to the VIP VIP participants, as well as special food from Shoe Brew as well. And we're very happy to say that that area, the VIP admission, is sold out early on. So,
do you take your own little mug, or do you get a cup or something to taste?
So when you once you arrive at registration, you're given it's a 5-ounce tasting glass for the regular sessions. The VIP sessions, they get the much larger tasting glass, and then you can use that to go around and try all the brews that are there.
The size of those glasses are limited by state law, because you know you have to get special permits to have an event like this. And once again, as Frank emphasized, you must be 21 to participate in all of the activities. I assume there'll be banding or something at the gate whenever you go in. Is that the way it works?
Yes. So you'll be you'll have a wristband depending on what session you sign up for. The VIP, of course, have a different session or a different band. There's also a designated driver admission, so they pay a smaller price. They can come in and listen, but they get banded, so they're not served any beers.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
An excellent idea. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the Zeelianople Public Library and how they have benefited and how they will benefit in the future from a portion of the funds raised by Zeely on Tap.
So the Zeelianople Area Public Library, so they've been in existence for almost 100 years. I believe next year will be their 100th anniversary.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And they serve Zeelianople Borough, Harmony Borough, Jackson Township, and Lancaster Township primarily. They have over 40,000 items for checkout, books and movies and various other things. They've recently renovated their entire children's library area and provided a lot more books. They offer many programs for everyone, from infants to seniors. Some of the children's programs include a part of the Inquire Within program from WQED Education,
mm-hmm.
as well as other programs that participate with the Carnegie Science Center, which is very nice. These children's programs and activities, they have many that they provide. You check out the library website for more children's programs. They also have the Zeely Library Presents, which is an arts and culture speaker series, and they have various artists and authors coming in and to speak at the library. I think their next one comes at the end of January. It's the author Randall Silvis, but this program has been going on for a number of years, and the website will have more information on what's coming up there.
Randall Silvis. I know Randy. He's an acquaintance of mine. I haven't seen him in a long time, though.
Yeah,
wow.
Well, he'll be there at the end of January, so you should come and take a look.
I will. I'll come down. I haven't seen him for several years. Yeah. Very prolific author, by the way.
Yes, he has many, many books under his belt.
Yeah, not just novels. He's a playwright, too. He's written award-winning plays. Yeah. And he's from this area. He's from Western Pennsylvania guy.
Nice.
So, yeah, Zeelian Opal Public Library is one of our really, really active. Well, we're fortunate to have a lot of public libraries in Butler County, but Zeelian Opal is one of the very active ones. That's for sure. Do you volunteer there, or are you on staff at the library, Fred?
I do volunteer work there. I'm not on staff, but I help with, you know, they have their annual book sales that, again, another one of their fundraisers. And, you know, I'll help move a lot of books around, you know, from storage to, you know, to display so they can purchase those during the, you know, Zeelian Opal Fall Festival and other times they have books for sale. And again, it's a big fundraiser for them. So
I know it was not too long ago that they renovated the children's area, which you undertake a project like that, that's big bucks for a small municipal library.
It is. And it relies a lot on, you know, volunteers to come in and help because you have to, you know, clear out all the books, clear out all the bookshelves, lay new flooring or painting or whatever they're doing, and then have to move that all back, you know, once everything's been updated.
And libraries these days, let's put it this way, folks, it's not your grandfather's Oldsmobile anymore. It's not your grandfather's library. Still have books, but so many, many other things and other services that can be either enjoyed there or checked out in a variety of different media.
Right. I mean, it's amazing to me that, you know, I love libraries and I visit them everywhere I go. But you can check out a hardcover book, but you can also check out e-books, Kindle books, various things like that. You know, they have a system that allows you to do that. And they're connected with all the other libraries in Butler County, which makes it very nice. So their, you know, their availability of books grows exponentially when you do that.
Frank Baker is our guest, one of the co-chairs of Zeely on Tap. He was interested in our earlier guest, Jerome O'Connor, and with his new book, The Hidden Places of World War II. And you told me you're a bit of an amateur historian when it comes to World War II as well. Quite a bit of reading, huh?
I have. It's as I'd mentioned, you know, I have a lot of interest in the war in the Pacific, you know, being a retired Navy veteran, and I follow that pretty closely. But I've done, I've read many books on World War II, among other wars.
What did you do in the Navy, Frank?
So I was on active duty. I was stationed aboard an aircraft carrier, the USS Carl Vinson. And then, you know, once I, once I left the active duty, I joined the Navy Reserve when I was going to college to help pay for that. But then I participated and I worked with the Military Sealift Command primarily under the reserves, which is essentially all the cargo ships in the Navy. So that kept me busy. All the logistics of that was pretty interesting.
I saw a series on, I believe it was on PBS 3 or 4 years ago, about life on board an aircraft carrier, which was a real eye-opener for me. You're shaking your head. You must be familiar with that that program.
Yes. They talked about the USS Nimitz. And the ship that I was on, the Carl Vinson, is a Nimitz class, so it's the same type of ship. They're very, very large.
And I was blown away, actually, by the number of personnel. Folks, listen to this. How many service personnel are on a typical Nimitz class aircraft carrier?
When they're underway, it's between 5,500 and 6,000 men.
6,000 men on one ship, plus all the planes and everything.
Correct, yeah. So half of that is the ship's company. So those are, you know, over 3,000 men are required to just to run the ship. And then the other half is the air wing. They bring their own personnel along with all their aircraft. So
it's a floating city.
It is.
6,000, it's almost unfathomable. It's hard to get your arms around that.
It is. And I will mention, I say 6,000 men, but today there are men and women aboard the aircraft carrier.
Oh, yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
But,
and from what I remember, and this, again, this was a few years ago that I saw this show, the big carriers are usually deployed for a considerable length of time. I mean, they'll leave port and they're gone for months.
Yeah, it's usually probably 6 to 8 months on average. They're major deployments. They'll make little, you know, trips here and there for 2 or 3 weeks, but they usually do one major deployment a year, which averages 6+ months.
I assume you did that when you were...
I did. I got stationed aboard the Carl Vinson when it was new, so it was still under construction. Once it was commissioned, we made our first deployment, which was almost 9 months, but it made a world cruise. So they changed home ports from Norfolk, Virginia, to Alameda, California, but we went east to get west.
So the whole way around the world to get there.
We did, yeah. It was pretty fascinating.
Join the Navy and see the world, Frank.
That's right.
They used to say that. I don't think they use that slogan anymore. But
No, but you can. You can.
Well, that's for sure. Well, thank you for your service. That's terrific. And you're a Western Pennsylvania native, right?
I am. Born and raised in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. I left for the Navy from there after graduation. And then now my wife and I live in Zillianople. So we've been there for close to 30 years now.
I've always liked to visit Zillianople. You know, we have many nice communities and towns around, but I've always thought Saxonburg and Zillianople are, I don't know, they're just kind of throwback to great, you know, classic old American towns.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a beautiful little town. It was a great place to raise our daughters, and there's just so many little things going on there, little, you know, coffee shops and restaurants and shops downtown, and they keep growing, which is nice.
Exactly. I came through, I don't remember the circumstances exactly, I was coming through Zillianople several years ago, very early on a Saturday morning. And I remember what it was. A friend of mine and I were going golfing, and we were going down to Old Stonewall.
Oh, right.
Unfortunately, it had been flooded out the night before. The Conequenessing Creek flooded them out, so we had to turn around and come back to Butler. So here we are coming back through Zillianople very, very early in the morning. And we stopped at one of the coffee shops, rest. I'd never been there before. Had a fabulous breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Just stopped right along Main Street, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's very nice.
If you've joined us a little bit late, let's review everything that's going to be happening, Frank, this Saturday, this coming Saturday, which is October the 12th. Zili on Tap at Zillianople Community Park. What's going to be happening?
So this is our fourth annual Zili on Tap Beer Festival. It's a fundraising event for the Zillianople Community Park and the Zillianople Area Public Library. There are two sessions, one in the afternoon from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Then we have a little break, and then there's an evening session from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Along with the brewers, there's a couple of food trucks, Mignanelli's Smokehouse Barbecue, as well as Shoe Brew, one of the brewers, as well as a food vendor, and, of course, hot soft pretzels. We'll have entertainment throughout the evening featuring the Noble Hops, Shag Dog Melonhead, and Lucky Me. So there'll be music throughout the evening, the day and the evening, so for us.
And one of our sister stations here at the Butler Radio Group, the rock station 97.7 FM, is partnering with the folks at Zili on Tap for this event on Saturday, and it's one of their Rock Done Right tour stops. So, you know, there's going to be some good music there.
Right.
Tickets are $40 for either of the two sessions. You take your choice. Where do you get tickets, Frank?
You can go online to eventbrite.com. You can just look up Zili on Tap and find us there. You can also go to the Zillianople Area Public Library and purchase your tickets there and get a hard copy ticket.
And the proceeds from the event are split between two beneficiaries?
Correct. So the Zillianople Community Park and the Zillianople Public Library will split all proceeds 50-50, and see how the event winds up.
Well, this has been a very successful event. It's still, I wouldn't say it's in its infancy, but you say this is a fourth year.
Our fourth year, yes.
And it's grown bigger and bigger every year. We should mention a couple of your key sponsors that help make this all possible, Frank.
Yeah, so our key event sponsors are Universal Scaffold Systems and Benai Insurance Group out of Zillianople. They are the key event sponsors, among many others who've donated and become sponsors as well, but these two individuals in particular.
Obviously, there's an age restriction for this event since it's beer tasting, but if you're 21 or over, head to Zillianople this Saturday. That's the place to be for Zili on Tap, one of the co-chairs of the event, Frank Baker. Frank, nice to have you here. Nice to meet you. Nice to talk with you today.
Thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate it.
Sure. That wraps up our It's Your Turn program today. We thank our earlier guest as well, Jerome O'Connor, who joined us by telephone from Chicago, talking about his new book, The Hidden Places of World War II. Nice to have you with us as well today, listeners. I'm Dave Malarkey, and we hope you can be with us tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn, 12:30 tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.